Great job, Clay. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Enjoyed that this evening. All right, let's join together and take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. I'm sure all of you recognize Matthew chapter 2 as being part of the Christmas story. I hope it's not too early for you to have a little Christmas Bible study. If they can put out the Christmas trees the day after Halloween in Walmart, then surely we can go ahead and start studying about Christmas first, right after Thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. We see here the story of the visit of the wise men. Matthew 2, verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and not, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for each and every person here. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word together. God, as we open your word again, I pray that we'd open our hearts and minds, be receptive to your word. Mindful of the words of Jesus who said, he that has an ear, let him hear. I pray that we'd hear from you tonight, Lord, and pray that you just speak through me. Give me the words to say, and pray that I will decrease and you will increase. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On December 17th, 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright made their first attempts at flying an airplane at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. On their fifth try, the plane flew for 12 seconds. Wilbur rushed to the local telegraph office and sent the following message. We have flown for 12 seconds. We will be home for Christmas. Upon reading their telegram, their sister Catherine went to the newspaper office, told the editor about their brother's new flying machine, and also told the editor they would be home for Christmas if he would like to set up an interview. He said that would be nice, and he would be sure to put something in the paper about the boys. On December 19th, on the sixth page of the paper, was the following headline: Wright Brothers Home for Christmas. The most important event of the year, maybe the most important and significant event of the century, man's first flight, and the editor missed it. I wonder if the same could be said about some of us when it comes to Christmas, the celebration of the most important event in the history of mankind, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we miss it. Here in this passage, we read about the wise men who came to visit Jesus after he was born. Verse 2 here says that these wise men came to Herod and asked, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" Here in this passage, we see three responses or three reactions to the news of the birth of the newborn king, the birth of Jesus. And in these three reactions or three responses, we see some who missed it. Notice three things in this passage that tonight we talk about missing Christmas. Title of our lesson tonight, missing Christmas. Notice three things. First of all, number one, notice the response of Herod the king. The response of Herod the king, one of hostility. A response of hostility. Look at verse 1 through 3. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Notice this, verse 3. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was appointed by the Roman emperor to be king over Judea in 40 BC. At the time that Jesus was born, it was about 3 or 4 BC, and Herod would have been about 70 years old. Herod was known for being a very smart and a very shrewd king, but he was best known for being a very mean and cruel king. Herod was very paranoid and suspicious of everybody. He always worried that somebody was going to take his position and power from him. History tells us that he had at least 10 wives and 12 sons, and he had most of them killed because he thought they were trying to overthrow him. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, said it was safer to be Herod's pig than it was to be Herod's son. Herod would kill anybody he thought was a threat to his position as king. So we see here the story of the birth of Jesus and the visit of the wise men. We see here the wise men were looking for this newborn baby that was supposed to be the new king. Verse 3, notice there it says, "Herod is troubled." In the original Greek language, that word troubled means to be agitated, very upset. It means inside Herod was just in turmoil over this news of a new king. You see, Herod is more concerned about losing his throne, more concerned about remaining king than he was about the King of Kings, because he was so consumed with self, he ordered all the babies to be killed in order to eliminate any possibility of a new king. You see, Herod was the first Grinch that tried to steal Christmas. But despite Herod's plans or despite Herod's plot, God's plan prevailed. Despite Herod's scheme, God's sovereignty was demonstrated. I submit to you this evening that there are those in our society and in our world today that are trying to do the same thing, basically or essentially, that Herod was. They're trying to steal Christmas. They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. I saw on the internet a website the other day. It's actually the website for American Family Association. I don't know if you're familiar with American Family Association. They're a very Christian organization, been around for years, and they fight against and make Christians aware of a lot of social issues going on in society, and really trying to preserve the family and from a biblical basis. But each year, they publish what they call a naughty and nice list. A naughty and nice list. And I looked at it the other night. What they do, they review the advertising of large major national companies to determine if they are Christmas friendly. And they publish a list each year to let us know what companies are Christmas friendly and those that are not Christmas friendly. What they do, they review their advertising in five different areas, and they see how they, in their advertising, how they use the word Christmas, how they present their products during the Christmas season, and so on and so forth. So I thought that I would share with you the American Family Association naughty and nice list. Which you want first, the naughty or nice list? How about we do the nice list first? And I picked out, there's a large list, I picked out some that you'd be aware of and maybe that we have here locally, and you can favor them. And one of the factors, one of the things they look at is that some of the companies on the naughty list, they not only looked and checked their advertising, but some of these companies, of course, won't let their employees say Merry Christmas. And so the nice list, Ace Hardware, Belk's, Cracker Barrel, Cabela's, Bath and Body Works, Kroger, Lowe's, Hobby Lobby, Home Depot, Walmart and Sam's Club, and Harbor Freight. That was just a few of those on the good list. They present their advertising in favor of Christmas. They don't try to skew their advertising in a non-religious, non-Christian way. Now here's the naughty list. The naughty list, their advertising is very bland at Christmas, and there's some of these I'm going to tell you about in a minute that actually promote other religions at Christmas. The naughty list, Barnes & Noble, Staples, Family Dollar, Walgreens, Family Dollar was called out for opening their stores on Christmas Day. They open up on Christmas Day. Not many stores, not many businesses or companies do that, but they got gigged for opening on Christmas Day. What is that? In essence, what are they saying? They're telling you that to them, Christmas Day is just another day. What is Christmas Day? It's a celebration of the birth of Jesus, right? Well, this business say, no, well, not to us. We're treating it as any other business day. We're going to open up. So, 2 years ago, I wanted to tell you this story as well. 2 years ago, Best Buy had a Black Friday ad that contained a Muslim theme. They wished the Muslims a happy Eid al-Adha, which was a Muslim holiday. And they stated in their policy it was not okay to say Merry Christmas. You know, it has been for some years now, we hear that places don't want their people saying Merry Christmas now, and all across society, it's happy holidays or season greetings. And of course, we know the ACLU and other organizations file a lawsuit every time somebody tries to put up a major scene. But I submit to you this evening, Herod wanted to take Christ out of Christmas. And today there are those who want to do the same thing. Amen, church? We live in a society where they are wanting to take Christ out of Christmas. It is certainly evident all across our society. But I submit to you this evening that Herod's plans didn't work, and the plans of those who try to do it today will not work either. Jesus was born into this world as Savior, Lord, and King, and 2,000 years later, he is still Savior, Lord, and King. It is interesting that as Billy was talking about the situation in the Ukraine and martial law in a pagan country such as Russia trying to invade and retake that country, and you have Christians there right now in the Christmas season who no doubt are wanting to celebrate the birth of their Savior just like you and I, and you have a communist pagan nation trying to take them over, and you can guarantee that if they do, they're going to take Christ out of Christmas. There are those today who want to do that in Herod, but we see here Herod Let's make sure you and I as Christians keep Christ in Christmas. But Herod missed it. We see here, number one, first of all, the response of Herod was a response of hostility to the news of the birth of Jesus. Notice, second of all, the response of the chief priests and scribes. The response of the chief priests and scribes was one of indifference. One of indifference. Look at verse 4 through 6. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" The chief priests, of course, we know were the Jewish leaders of Matthew's day. They were Jewish leaders at the time and had a lot of power and influence during their day. The scribes were the authority of the Jewish law. They were responsible for teaching and interpreting the Jewish law to the people. So we see here the scene here that Herod calls these religious leaders in and asks this question. He demands to know where Christ the King was to be born. And we see here in verse 5 and 6, the religious leaders, the chief priests and scribes, answer him by referring to Old Testament prophecy. They're referring here to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And Micah prophesied, get this, 800 years prior. Micah prophesied this scripture that the Old Testament scripture that they're quoting was prophesied 800 years prior to him being born, but yet telling them exactly the city and the place that Jesus was to be born. So the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders come in and they quote Micah 5:2. This predicted that a Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. These Jewish leaders knew God had promised a Messiah. They knew that God had promised a king. They knew that God had promised a Savior. And they knew it was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. But notice their response. Notice their response or lack of response. They don't show any interest. They don't show any excitement. They don't show any belief in this report of the birth of the Messiah and Savior. They were supposed to understand the importance of Jesus' birth, but you see how they are unconcerned, they are unmoved, and they don't seem to care. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. These religious leaders were in the moment of when God sent his Son. They were there. They had their opportunity. They're receiving news of the birth of Jesus, but there is no reaction. There is no celebration. There is no rejoicing. Listen, Christmas, don't miss it. It is a time of rejoicing. It is a time of celebration. It is something to be excited about. Amen. So oftentimes this time of year we get through. I'm going to do something different tonight. I'm going to walk away from that little black stripe right there. I'm going to come over here. So many times we plan and we do our Thanksgiving dinner and get with family and friends, and then our minds automatically goes to buying and shopping, and we miss Christmas. Let's not be like the religious leaders of Matthew's day and show an indifference and an unconcern about what Christmas is all about, because if we do, we'll miss it. We'll miss it. And the birth of Jesus is too major of an event for you and I as believers in him to miss it. We see here a non-response by the religious leaders. On March 13th, 1964, 28-year-old Kitty Genovese was murdered near her home in a New York residential neighborhood. 38 witnesses either saw or heard the attack, and no one called the police. This happened in the dead of night when it was quiet. And as the story goes, all 38 witnesses that saw the incident looked from the window of their own home and saw it take place, and nobody responded. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born into this world to be murdered, to die. Don't miss Christmas. The world that we live in may be unconcerned, but let's not let Christmas happen without showing an interest. Enjoy this Christmas season, realizing and remembering the real meaning of Christmas. Real quick, number three, we see, number one, first of all, we see the response of Herod, one of hostility. We see the response of the religious leaders, one of indifference. And number three, notice the response of the wise men, the response of worship. Real quick, look at verse 10 and 11. And when they saw the star, notice this. Notice what they did. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible right here, guys. I kid you not. I love this. In light of what we see from Herod and the religious leaders of their day, I love this verse. They came into the room, it says, these three wise men saw baby Jesus, the Savior of the world, and what did they do? What did they do, church? Fell down. They hit the floor. And what they do then? Worshiped him. I love that. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. No one knows for sure where these wise men came from, but evidently they had traveled a long distance. They followed this star to find this newborn baby. When they found Jesus, they worshiped. Why this response? Why respond this way? Why come into the room, see this baby, and respond this way? These three men had just been in the presence of an earthly king in a palace. And now they worship a baby that had been born in a barn. Real quick, this is God's son. This is the light of the world. This is the Prince of Peace. This is the Good Shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. This baby that they were observing is the Savior of the world. He died on a cross at the age of 33 for our sins, for your sins, my sins, sins of the whole world. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead, and he lives today. And if you trust him as your personal Savior, you become born again, a child of God with an eternal home in heaven. What response does he deserve? Hostility?